Blog Talk Radio.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammie, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
Big news! Pearl Jam announces the re-release of their first and finest album, 10. Pre-orders on sale now. Oh, and there's that little thing called the NFL playoff. If you have just $20, I'll turn it into a free WCOSF main event entry. Al will give you our prediction next on Red vs. Blue.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Everybody, and good evening. This is Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. Hey, I'm Scott Atkins, Team Legacy in the world of online and high-stakes fantasy football. We have a great show tonight, and like I said at the intro, Pearl Jam re-releases their first and finest album, 10. It's very likely the greatest album of all time, and the re-release is there. You have to check out all the details at pearljam.com. I guess that's our unofficial sponsor tonight. We're pretty stoked about that. We've also got the NFL playoffs. The wild card weekend is over, and we had some surprising outcomes we're going to talk about tonight with that Colts and Chargers game. I guess surprising for some and not so much for others. We had Atlanta-Arizona with Kurt Warner coming up on top, holding Michael Turner down to 42 yards. And we've got some other games we're going to talk about as well. You can reach the show at 347-324-5404. You can happen to, if you're listening to iTunes Radio, you can check us out there, or you can find us on the fantasysportschannel.com. Come on in, join the live chat room. We appreciate everybody that's always in the chat room. We've got some users there tonight. We've got a new user, Pinto. Welcome aboard. 10-Yard Fight, Sports Online Network, and several others. You guys, thanks for joining us. I'm always joined by my Big Blue co-host. It's an honor to present over the online world, Mr. Michael Trent. Mike, we had a big game last week, U of L UK, and U of L came out on top.
Yeah, that was an awesome game, Scott. I didn't know if they could go to Freedom Hall and beat them, and a couple steals there late, they almost did, but it was a lot of fun watching the game, watching young athletes try to mature the way they did, and it was a lot of fun. I want to get back to the other games that we got that we're talking about with Baltimore, Tennessee, Arizona, Carolina on Saturday, and San Diego, Pittsburgh, Philly, and the Giants. But just to kind of wrap it up in a nutshell, Kentucky Louisville, it's always going to be a rivalry. It's going to be a great rivalry, and I love it. And I don't like losing to you guys, but it's kind of the way things go. And so that's pretty much what I have to say about that. I'm ready to break down these playoffs. I really am, and really look forward to you know, see what the lightning bug, as they say in San Diego, can do. Can do against Pittsburgh and the other thing.
Well, we're going to talk
playoffs.
We're also going to talk a little bit of UofL UK here at the end of the show for all the Louisville and Kentucky fans. It is Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, but we're still in NFL playoff mode, so we are going to continue to bring to you our breakdowns of every game. And like I said on the teaser, if you have $20, I'm going to turn that into a free WCOFF main event entry for you tonight. Believe it or not, but if you've got $20, I'll do it for you. And we've got those matchups here tonight we're going to break down. It all revolves around this next round of the NFL playoffs, Saturday and Sunday, and you'll have that money in your hands. But, Mike, let's talk about last week. The Chargers looked pretty good taking care of the Colts. It was one of those games that you didn't know how it was going to end, but you just had a feeling, and I've said it for a while, I was waiting for that Peyton Manning face. And when you see that Peyton Manning face, you know it's over. It's the one we've seen so many times. The frustration sets in, and he sees it. And, I mean, they did a good job on Rivers, I think, for the most part. I mean, they limited him to he took what they gave him, 20 for 36, 217 yards. But this was – and Gates really showed up, 8 for 87. He seemed like he was open all day long. I don't know how he got that wide open. But this was the story of Darren Sproles. I know you had a nickname for him there. 23
yeah.
carries, 105 yards, and two touchdowns.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, I was texting you left and right going, no problem. Andy's got this with no problem. They're going to take care of things in the second half. It's no big deal, you know, because the spread was basically it was an even game. And I kept thinking that things were going to happen for Indianapolis to where they were going to end up winning with no problem. But the lightning bug, Darren Sproles. The lightning bug he went underneath. It was like he was going underneath a freaking commode. I mean,
yeah.
he was that small but just that quick. And Indy couldn't – they didn't have an answer for him. And let's face it, the only touchdown Indy got was on that really quick snap when they caught the guys when they caught San Diego basically just – off guard and said, okay, here we go. And
yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do it more often, but they didn't. And Cromartie, I mean,
yeah,
they played great. I mean, San Diego's defense stepped up to the plate, and it's kind of eerie because San Diego is playing a lot like the Giants did last year. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Pittsburgh, but so be it. They're still playing very good football, and they beat Indy, and they beat one of the teams that I pegged last week. So go get them.
Well, a lot of fantasy players had Colts going all the way, especially in some of those contests where you could have multiple players from the same team. Peyton went 25 for 42, 310 yards and a touchdown. So you did get a decent game there. Adai, the running game has just been missing all year, 16 for 44 and a touchdown. Something's been amiss with that ground game. I don't know if it's offensive line related or Adai. Rhodes seemed to he always looked like he had control of what he was doing. But you're right, it was that one big play, and I think they burned Cromartie there, which is a little bit surprising. But Wayne, 4 for 129 and a touchdown. It seems like the Colts always have problem with that Chargers secondary when the rest of the league lights them up. I mean, here you have the 31st secondary in the NFL, or it was something that bad against wide receivers, and 31st in the league against quarterbacks. And, you know, they really give up the yards in the air, and to see the Colts always struggle, it's just one of those things. The Chargers have their number. Maybe it's coaching staff related. I'm not sure. But
well,
possibly
another thing about that, Scott.
From Dungy.
another thing about that, Scott, is there's only really one team in that whole conference, in that whole division, that can light San Diego up, and that's Denver and Jay Cutler. So you take that you take that team out of the equation, and there's not much. I mean, Oakland, Jamarcus Russell, that, they're not going to light them up. So here's the real test. The real test is comes Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh.
Here comes Pittsburgh.
I mean, you know, we'll see what happens there. I mean, Ben might have a big day. He might not. He might not have to have a big day. We'll see what happens with Willie Parker and the whole bunch running the ball. And
well,
it ought to be a very interesting game.
347-324-5404. We'd like to hear from you and to find out what you think of this NFL playoffs. We've got Mark Ronick in the chat room tonight. Welcome aboard, Mark. And we're talking some fantasy playoffs. We've got the Chargers advancing to take on this mean Pittsburgh defense, number one against quarterbacks, number two against running backs, number one against wide receivers, and number nine against tight ends. So there's not a lot here to get excited about if you have Charger players moving on, although Sproles did take care of you week one, and Gates did too. I think there was only a couple of players around those leagues, if you looked, that had enough faith in Antonio Gates. On the other side of the ball, you've got Roethlisberger, you've got Parker, and you've got a great tandem of Ward and Santonio Holmes. And I think really here's the here's where you can really pick up some points. If you've got Ward or Santonio Holmes, they've got a pretty good matchup against a San Diego secondary that's really allowed it. Now, the question is, will we see the San Diego secondary that showed up against the Colts, or will we see the San Diego secondary that's been here all year giving up the big plays?
Another thing, Scott, well, you see the same Ben Roethlisberger that can deliver the ball to Ward and Holmes. That's going to be key, because I took Hines Ward in one of my leagues, and, you know, I'm going to bank on him. But, you know, I need Ben, but Ben has to get protection. And the way the San Diego defense has been playing, that's a big iffy right there.
Well, that Pittsburgh defense has been dominant all year. So the line here, let's take a look at the line, and we do have the prognosticator in the room, so I'm sure he can help us with this as well. Pittsburgh is minus -6. The over-under in this game is 38, so they're looking for about a 22-16 game here. 22-16 is what they're predicting. And the money line on San Diego is plus +220 for a team that is one of the hottest teams in the league. Like you said, very, very reminiscent of what the Giants did last year. Mike, San Diego plus +220 versus Pitt. What do you have?
I personally like Pittsburgh. Which Mike are you talking to?
Pitt minus -6 or San Diego plus +220. I kind of like the money line on San Diego in this game, guys. The money line at plus +220, it's a value play, right? And Pittsburgh, while they've been a dominant defense, they haven't been a dominant team all year. They do have some the losses that they have. They've had some home losses. I know they lost to the Colts at home. And, you know, this is a winnable game. So if you're going to give me 2-1 odds on one of these teams, I'll take the money line in that game.
Well, in Pittsburgh or San Diego, when they play Pittsburgh in the regular season, they pretty much don't beat them. But when they play them in the playoffs, they're undefeated, something like that. So, I mean, I like trends, and when it comes to playoffs, and trends seem to work. So, but I like Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh, Scott. No doubt about it.
All right, well, let's look at game two last week. Actually, it was game one last week, Atlanta and Arizona. And this was an interesting game for all of us. It's one of those high-scoring shootout-type games that we thought we'd see. And we saw quite a bit of it early on from Arizona. And we just saw a lot of good things from that Matt Ryan. That whole team is going to be pretty special. Matt Ryan, 26 of 40 for 199 yards and 2 touchdowns. He actually makes the wide receivers look pretty good. Compared to what we've always seen with Michael Vick. And Roddy White, 11 for 84 and a touchdown. This kid has, you know, elite wide receiver written all over him. He had a drop there that was just huge. It was probably like a 40-yard drop. That was another 5 points. And then he was overthrown on a touchdown that should have just been dropped right in. Roddy White, Mike, could have been looking at like 13 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, that team looks very good. Atlanta, they got their act together. I kind of hate to see them leave the playoffs. But on the other side of things, they are looking a big beast next year because their schedule is going to get tough. But, you know, Matt Ryan and Roddy White, they've connected. They know what's going on, and they've got it together. And you throw in the package with Michael Turner. I mean, this team, they've got a lot of things going on. So they shouldn't be, you know, I mean, it kind of sucks to not continue on and throughout the playoffs. But on the other side of it, they got a lot to be proud of. They got a lot to be proud of, just like the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you know, big turnaround there, and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of success stories that people need to hang their hats on and be proud of.
Well, and Atlanta had a good game. They held the interesting thing that nobody's really talking about, Arizona held Michael Turner to 18 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, and they really knew their assignments. It seemed like they got that Colts thing from a couple years ago when the Colts went on their run. Everybody was dogging their defense, and they got it together when they needed to. Arizona was ranked 24th in the league stopping running backs, and they stopped Michael Turner, and he didn't really have anywhere to go. They got in the gaps, and they did their job. And
can you imagine if he'd have gotten 100 yards rushing?
Well, yeah,
in that
game? The question this week is. Can Arizona do to Carolina what they did to Atlanta? And Atlanta and Carolina were pretty evenly matched all year round. I mean, let's face it, Atlanta gave Carolina fits, and that was a dogfight to the very bitter end. And, Mike, didn't you feel like me? I felt like Arizona had this game in hand pretty much the whole game.
Well, I think so, too. I mean, it was very much in tight, especially at halftime when Atlanta got up. But the big difference is Steve Smith. Steve Smith, you know, if Carolina goes into halftime down a field goal against Arizona against Arizona, they got Steve Smith, and there's a lot of other weapons on Carolina's side that's going to make a big difference. And you know, that's nothing against Roddy White, because Roddy White has proven himself over and over again, but you know, you just can't. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, Steve Smith, and Jake DeLome, plus Carolina's defense, that's too much to go against. And it ought to be a tough game, but I don't think it'd be that close. I see something like 34-14, something like that.
Well, Vegas is like you, Mike. They have Carolina posted as a 9.5-point favorite at a 48.5 over under. So that's about a 30-20 game, 29-19 or so. And man, you know, I see Arizona doing the exact same thing as they did Atlanta: stack the line, stop the run, and you know they're gonna you're gonna pass on them. You're definitely gonna pass on them. Teams pass on them all year. The question is, can they stop the run like they did against Atlanta? And the answer all season long, Mike, has been no. But they did it when they needed to at home. And so I wonder if they're going to be able to, if some of that's going to carry over a little bit. And
you know,
like I said, that was the only thing that stopped the Colts. What made the Colts win that Super Bowl is they stopped the run when they hadn't all year.
Well, like I said, Scott, they stopped the run when they had to, with Roddy White as your own. I mean, he was the only receiver. Right now, you got Steve Smith and some others. That Steve Smith is so much better than Roddy White. So, I mean, that just makes so many more options for Carolina versus what they had to go up against with Arizona. So, I don't know. There's so many more options for Carolina to explore, and I don't think they're going to be able to handle it.
Well, I think teams are definitely underestimating Arizona. Do I look for Arizona to win the game? I think they have a good shot. 9.5 points. I've liked Carolina since the beginning here of this playoff. I've picked in my pools where I could, you know, a lot of Carolina Panthers to kind of go all the way. I thought they were the team that could beat the Giants. I know some people are really high on Philly this week, and deservedly so, but Arizona is a team that the way they beat Atlanta, even without Anquan Boldin for a lot of the game, I know we got open on that one play and took off, but this is the type of team that could, you know, these spreads get busted up all the time. I'm not looking at the spreads when we get into the playoffs nearly as much as I do in the regular season, and Arizona has a good shot. The money line here is +360. So you could be wrong three times here and still make some money, but Arizona +360, I think, is something I can't turn down. I mean, you might be throwing your money away, but it's definitely another value play, +360. I'll take Arizona in the money line. Pull the upset.
Well, I'm really surprised you're going to take that, but, you know, I don't blame you because, like we talked about, the Giants, I mean, they ran the table last year. You know, everybody said, well, they can't do it. Well, they kept winning and winning and winning. Arizona, can they do it? Well, sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they can win. But I just don't I really don't see it. And But that's your call, and we'll go from there.
347-324-5404. We'd like to hear your comments and what you think about the playoffs this week. The next game, Mike, we saw Baltimore take care of Miami. Looking at these stats, Joe Flacco didn't have to do much, but to be honest, he really couldn't. Miami did their job on Flacco. I know Flacco gets a lot of credit, but 9 for 23 and 135 yards isn't some performance that you're saying, okay, he's really going to go handle Tennessee. Tennessee Titans will probably give him fits. McClain looked solid, 19 for 75 and a touchdown. He was my pick in the FFPC playoff pool, and he just missed the touchdown right at the end of the game there, just off the edge of his hands.
Yeah.
Flacco threw a pass. Almost got two touchdowns there. Mason's a little dinged up, but he's going to play. He had 4 for 71, and McGahee got a little bit loose on a big run, 7 for 62. On the other side of the ball, nothing was going on for Chad Pennington. But like I told you on the show, he has fits with Baltimore's defense. He had fits again on Sunday, 25 for 38, 252, one touchdown, and four picks. Ronnie Brown, 12 carries, 19 yards, nothing going there. They really couldn't solve that Baltimore defense. Now, this morning when I was listening to Mike was talking about how Baltimore's defense really looked like they were tired getting up to the line on that in that fourth quarter, and I didn't get to really see that or observe that. I was kind of in and out, just watching the score there. Mike, did you think that Baltimore looked kind of sluggish there at the end of that game?
Yeah, they did. You know, I saw that on more than one occasion where they talked about, well, they're slow, but they still made the play happen, and that's scary. If they're that slow and they're that sluggish, getting to the line, making things happen, you know, that's the beast. It is Baltimore defense. And Baltimore, you know, I think they look pretty good. I think they're going to be, you know, destiny is in their hands. And you know, it's
a
just,
lot of people think that.
You're
not the only one.
You know, but the one thing about it, though, Scott, is a bye week can help or it can hurt. And I think in Tennessee's situation, it's going to hurt their center, Maui. I mean, is he going to play or not? Because that is a key situation. If you remember back years ago when Oakland made that run when John Gruden was coach, they lost their center because he was whacked out on drugs or whatever. And he wasn't there for the Super Bowl, and next thing you know, it was a bad situation. Fumbled snaps left and right. Rich Gannon couldn't do anything. So a center is a key situation.
Mike, Kevin Mawai is officially out. He will not play in that AFC divisional game against Baltimore. So he
is
out.
It's done, and Baltimore's a winner.
Yeah, since he injured his right elbow, he is out. And I'll tell you what, Baltimore is going to absolutely give Kerry Collins fits. And Mike, I always want to talk about these playoff games. That's what we're here to do. But and we're going to interrupt this segment a little bit because we do have our prognosticator on the line. The prop bets were released today. So everybody get your pens out. Get ready to take down some picks. The prognosticator is with us.
Is that Alex
Taganowski?
Yeah.
Hey.
What's up, Alex?
How are you, Mike and Scott?
How you doing?
Well, first of all, all you guys who like in Baltimore, you guys are going to be so disappointed this weekend. It's not even funny. You know, I had some time to think about this because I also like Baltimore. You know, just like the whole country, it seems like. But they are going to get spanked this week. And it's not
and
even going to be
why.
Funny. Why? Okay.
Yep.
First of all, this is not the 2000 defense. Not nearly the 2000 defense. They can play very well. They could be very dominant on occasion. But they have had ups and downs the whole season. This is not a shutdown defense. They could be run on. They could be passed on occasion. Yes, they're good. Yes, they're very good. But they can be had. That's number one. Number two, they have a rookie quarterback, and as good as the guy is, he's coming into a hostile environment because Tennessee is a great
sure.
home field advantage, a very
right.
good home field advantage. Okay, this guy is coming into a hostile environment. He's coming in and playing against a defense that could very well be better than Baltimore's defense right now, now that they're healthy, which they're supposedly they are. Okay, so you got this kid coming into Tennessee playing against this defense. And lastly, first of all, the Mawai thing is not an issue. A center is important for the exchange, but as far as protection, as far as run blocking, I mean, if the line is good and if they have a capable backup, the center is not usually a spot that, you know, is gonna make the offensive line fall apart.
Well, I like that, Alex, but I totally disagree. Keep going.
Well, yeah, but look, I don't think that's my opinion. I think, generally speaking, the center is really not the position. I mean, you could talk about guards. You could talk about the tackle.
Long snapper.
But, yeah, exactly. But anyway, so that's kind of how I see it.
I think the question is, though, I think you kind of hit it, which defense is better? And Baltimore we know is good. Tennessee has been solid all year against fantasy options. Tennessee's number four against the quarterback, Baltimore number three. Tennessee's number eight against running backs, Baltimore number one. And Tennessee is number three against wide receivers, Baltimore number five. If there's any weak spot at all, Tennessee's number 17 against the tight end, whereas
that's what
Baltimore's
I was,
number 10.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make. Todd Heap could have a big day. This could be fun for Todd Heap and Joe Flacco to get – well, I'm sure they've been communicating throughout the week, but I really think they could try to establish the run just a little bit, but Todd Heap just little dink and dunks, six, eight-yard passes, and
yeah.
they're going to have to cover up on Todd Heap, and next thing you know, Drake Mason, he could be open. I'm not saying that Tennessee can blow him out, but – I still feel like that Baltimore has enough defense to stop the Tennessee run and put enough hands in Collins' face to where they're three and out left and right and let Baltimore have a chance.
Well, Alex, that's why we have you on the show, is to get your opinion on these games, and let's find out. They released some player props this week, so everybody get your pens ready. What props are we looking at this week?
Well, today I have three value plays as I see them. One of them I have never bet before, probably in my life, and I'm going to give it to you today because I think this is, even though it's a minus 200, meaning that you have to lay 200 to win 100, and I never, ever lay this much wood on a play. But I think this is
right.
such a value play, and I'll tell you what it is. It's Ed Reed to not have an interception, and that's minus 200. And the reason now everybody said, wait a minute, Ed Reed, not have an interception, why would you? Well, here's the way it works. How many interceptions does Ed Reed have? Six?
Yeah, six or eight probably.
Well, yeah, six or eight. What are the odds, just strictly speaking, what are the odds of a defensive back having an interception in any one particular game? You know, you figure, are they 5-1? Are they 6-1?
I was going to say 50-60-1.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are huge. Now, fine. You want to take Ed Reed, you want to say he's the number one in the league, great. I mean, his odds could be 3-4-1. But
he's on fire.
Yeah. But 2-1 to say that the odds of him getting an interception is 2-1, I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. I have to lay the 2-1, I have to lay the 200, and I'm going to say that if he beats me, he beats me, but I'm going to say he doesn't get an interception every second game, which is basically what this line is saying.
Good call, Alex. Good call.
My number two play is, well, this is pretty obvious, because I got Larry Fitzgerald over under on receptions 5.5. So I'm going to take the over here, over 5.5, and lay the 30 cents. I don't think much explanation needs to be said here. Larry Fitzgerald, Bolden's most likely out. I mean, they're going to have to pass and pass and pass in order to win. And I don't see how this guy gets less than 6 receptions.
That's interesting. I'd like to look that one up. I know I heard somewhere that their strategy is going to be to key on Fitz, to double him, to leave Breston and Urban open. And let those guys have their day. But just looking at Fitzgerald to see why that line is like it is. Let's see. You know, here's his reception counts: 3, 6, 7, 8, 7, 5, 7, 6, 8, 10, 5, 5, 6, 5, 3, 5, 6. Okay, here's why. Yeah. The last 8 games, 5, 5, 6, 5, 3, 5, 6. He's had 6 twice out of the last 8 games. So, you know, but this is one of those clutch games you're going to have to win, you're going to have to throw, and he's going to be in the game.
Well, if the guys that are making this line are looking at those last 6-5 games, and that's why they come up with this 5.5 over-under, then I'm glad I caught it, because – first of all, there is no such thing as doubling Larry Fitzgerald. It does not exist. You could double him, and he'll still catch 6 balls for 100 yards.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, if you take a look at the games where Bolden is out, Fitz goes nuts in those games. So, you know, any argument that could be said, well, you know, Bolden is out, they're going to double-team Fitzgerald, again, goes out the window because he still gets his share of production. So, anyway, I mean, look, obviously I could lose this play just like any other play, but I think he gets 6 receptions tomorrow.
He's 6'3". He does command the double team when he's out there, but it's almost impossible to cover the guy. The question is, will he force it in there when he sees that coverage on those defensive backs and maybe even the safeties coming in? And, you know, that's what you have to look at. Bolden's got if Bolden's not out there, you've got a big target out there in Fitz that he's got to get the ball to. But will he force it? And if you think like everybody else, you know, Carolina's going to be ahead in this game, and so, you know, Warner's going to be throwing a lot in that second half.
Right, and that has to play into the thinking as far as Carolina being a 10-point favorite. So you got to figure that Warner, you know, is going to put up 50 passes, you know. Certainly in the third or fourth quarter, he's going to put up a lot of those 50 passes. So some of them have to go to Fitz.
All right.
And the third one, I usually give you 3. And my third play of the day is also, this is purely a value play, and it is Darren Sproles, whether or whether not he will get a touchdown against the Steelers. And I say, and this is a strange line to begin with, because the line is no touchdown plus 120. So they're basically saying that he will get a touchdown because I think the other way is minus 140 or something like that. I mean, it's pretty.
Well, that looks backwards, Mike. Why? That looks like a trap or something. What's up?
Yeah,
with that?
It does. I mean, I don't like that, Alex. I mean, that's an awesome pick because I see. You know, there's going to be some scoring involved in that game, and, you know, I really like that pick, Alex.
Well,
good job.
I mean, Darren Sproles is, let's be honest here, he's no LT, not yet,
no.
Okay? So for him to score a touchdown in the game is no guarantee. And let's not forget who he's playing. So for anyone to score a touchdown in a game is no guarantee. So and over the, you know, anyone who's been following my plays over the year, you guys know that I love to bet against players scoring in the course of a game, especially when it's like even money or when I'm getting, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 cents. I love that because the odds of a player scoring, even the best players in the NFL are really, you know, are against them, you know, going into each individual game. That's how I see
Alex,
it.
Alex, I didn't catch the line there. I didn't write it down. Fifth over under 5.5.
Minus 30.
What was the what was it?
Minus 30.
Minus 30.
Wow.
All right, well, there you have it. There's the three plays. Ed Reed, not to have an interception. Fitz, over 5.5 catches. And Sproles, no touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm glad they started releasing that early. I guess it's on time for the playoffs. Very likely they probably did that last Friday. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
But,
they released it last Friday because of the Saturday games. But the reason why I stopped calling in the last few weeks of the regular season is because they stopped releasing them on Friday, so I wasn't able to get them out and get them in time for your show.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by, guys, and hopefully everybody got those picks wrote down. Mr. Kaganowski, the prognosticator, stopping by on Red versus Blue Sports Radio. Appreciate it, Alex. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Hey, Alex, keep in touch throughout the rest of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and we'll keep on touch throughout the spring and summer, and we'll keep on keeping on. And but we really appreciate you, man.
I think Alex takes some time off in the off season. He likes to get a little away from the football after pouring into it every week. But
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
All right, see you guys.
That was the prognosticator, and we've got those three value plays, Mike. Let's get right back to where we were when we left off. We had just broke down the Arizona-Carolina game, and we were getting ready to go to that Baltimore-Tennessee. We did get to talk about it a little bit, but the spread here is Tennessee minus 3. The over-under is 34. So what is that? They're looking at a 18-15 game here, something like that.
Game. You know what? It's hard to whenever I see a Baltimore game and an over-under of 34, that tells me that it's really going to go under. When I see a Baltimore game and the over and under is 32, 33, it's going to really go under. I like Baltimore in this game. I like it for Derek Mason and LaVon McClain. I mean, your guy LaVon McClain is going to have fun, but it's going to be smash mouth, and I just cannot see Chris Johnson getting enough yards to where Linda White can have fun in the end zone. And I cannot see Kerry Collins being comfortable with that Baltimore defense. It's just that it all comes back to defense. I mean, it's going to be tough, Scott. I mean, it really is. Baltimore is that good. So,
I saw a lot of teams with Chris Johnson on their fantasy lineups this year, and I'm like, man, look at the matchups this guy has to face. If they do beat Baltimore, which I thought was a lock to beat Miami, then they have to come back and play Pittsburgh. So you're not getting any favors here by taking Chris Johnson. You have to play Pittsburgh and Baltimore in the first two games, and then, you know, very likely in the Super Bowl you're playing the Giants or something like that. So Chris Johnson just didn't seem like a guy that I wanted to spend a roster pick on.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I'm in a league where we have so many units we could take throughout the playoffs, and I've got on my team, I've got Todd Heap on Baltimore defense, and I have nobody on Tennessee. I've got I got Jake DeLome, I got Steve Smith, I got D'Angelo Williams. The reason? Because I think Carolina is going to win the game and continue forward because we only have so many roster moves we can make. But I've got nobody on Tennessee, and that's just my personal opinion. I don't think Tennessee can beat Baltimore, and maybe they will. You know, Fisher, he always has a game plan. He always has something in sight, but Baltimore does too.
Well, we've definitely got the questions abound for that Tennessee-Baltimore game, and I think everybody's kind of torn on this game. I know Baltimore has been the trendy pick, and several people picked Baltimore to go all the way, including one of our FFPC friends, Dave Gerzak. He said that Baltimore would was his sleeper pick to go all the way, and this was before they even made the playoffs. So there's you know, Baltimore is one of those teams that if they get hot at the right time, they've got leadership. You're always looking for leadership on in sports these days, and it seems to be more and more important as the years go on. And, boy, they've got a lot of that with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, just those guys on the defense. So that's why that interception play kind of scares me. I can see Baltimore holding this game down, and then, you know, the end of the half or, in, you know, they're throwing up a prayer. They're trying to get something, and Ed Reed just kind of, you know, he comes down with those balls. He has a way of kind of hawking that ball and getting where he needs to be. But
what are you talking about, leadership, Scott? You know, the whole team knows what it's all about. Ray Lewis, I mean, you can like him or not like him, but when you get on the field with Ray Lewis, you know what it's all about. It's game on. It's time. It's time to get it done, and he knows that. And he respects Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco respects Ray Lewis because they're on the same page. They have a goal. There is one common goal there, and that's to get to the Super Bowl and not just get to it, but win it. And, you know, whether you're a first-year rookie or whether you're Ray Lewis, been in the league for a long time, you have a common goal, and that's what it's all about. And I think those two, they see it from – the offensive side and the defensive side, and that's a good mesh.
Mike, we're also experiencing some errors here. We're getting a message from Blog Talk Radio. They're currently undergoing some maintenance. They're thanking us for our patience, and the service will be available again soon. So it doesn't sound like we can get those callers that were on the air, or that were on hold on the switchboard, on the air because the switchboard is down. So, guys,
well, we're talking, aren't we?
Yep, we are. I'm glad. I hope that the signal's still going out there for everybody. It looked like the chat room was still rolling fine. It looks like they're there. Yep, Prognosticator's still there. He had a 65% winning percentage on the props this year, and a lot of those were value plays. You're coming out a lot better than that. Mike, we've got a fourth game here. So, again, I like Baltimore plus 130. I think that value you can't – again, it's another play you can't turn down. Finally – the hottest team going in the NFC right now, Philly, at the Giants.
It's going to be good, Scott.
The Giants are not hot by any stretch of the imagination. You saw they lost two games. They came back and beat the Carolina Panthers in what was just a great game. I mean, watching that was just like I was watching playoff football. And then they come back and lose a game that they really didn't need to win. They are on the slide here. And let's talk about this Philly-G-Men game, Mike. G-Men are four-point favorites. The over-under is 39. So what are we looking at here? 22-18.
I'm going to bring it. I'm going to break it down real quick, Scott, and then I'll let you break it down.
Okay.
This game, this really intrigues me. It's probably one of the best games of the Elite Eight that we have going. The Giants are coming off of they're coming off of a bye, and that's good for them. But no, it's not. Philly is hot. They're rolling. They're playing good. The defense is doing well. You know, Donovan McNabb, I mean, he's hit his stride. And with Brian Westbrook, and the thing is, Brian Westbrook coming out of the backfield, he's able to hit him up out of the backfield. The Giants, you know, I don't know. Eli Manning, he hasn't thrown for over 200 yards since week five. And
that's
what you got to remember
that,
is, you know, I mean, they had their bye.
They haven't had to, though, in all honesty. They haven't had to. When you're running the ball that well, you don't have to pass.
No, you don't. But they're missing one real ingredient, and that's pow, pow, pow. Oh, I'm sorry, I shot myself in the leg. They're missing Plaxico Burress. and that's going to be a big ingredient that's going to hurt the Giants, that's going to hurt Eli Manning. They're going to miss him because Dominic Hickson can only fill in for so much. Steve Smith can only do so much. So I think that's going to be the killer for the Giants. I see Philly winning this game.
Well, I've got Tucker Ditch in the chat room as well. He said that Philly's going to stack the line against the run and no Plaxico, and I kind of agree with that. Here's what I see. You've got a secondary that doesn't have to worry about Plaxico. A lot of games against Plaxico, you have to leave them out there for that coverage because Plaxico will burn you, and just like he proved all last year in the playoffs, Plaxico is the reason why the Giants won that Super Bowl. Plaxico is the reason why they beat the Packers. Plaxico is the reason why they advanced in the playoffs. You don't have Plaxico, you've got a big, big problem on your hands. Now, granted, they're a better run game this year. Brandon Jacobs is the face of that offense. He gives them their identity. And the G-Men are going to focus on that. They're going to do earth, wind, and fire all day long. They're going to pound the ball. And they're going to make but Philly's going to say, hey, we're going to attack that run, and you're going to have to beat us, Eli. And so he's going to have to throw the ball. So Hickson's going to have to get open and do his thing. I think the Giants dropped the ball. Didn't Hickson drop that long touchdown possibility earlier this year against Philly in a game that they should have won? If he'd have caught that, I'm not sure. I can't. It seems like I remember that play. But here's what I see also. Philadelphia, look at this. Westbrook, 20 carries last week for 38 yards. Now, granted, that's against Minnesota. But what's wrong with Westy? I mean, you're going to see that screen pass again. When he took that 171-yarder to the house, you're going to see Philly go with a lot of screens. You're going to see Westy get stuffed all day, I think, by the G-men. And you're going to have to see Buckhalter do something. Maybe he's got enough, you know, power to get through. I don't see Westy doing it. McNabb was 23 of 34 for 300 yards and a touchdown against Minnesota. I think everybody throws there. But they really
One thing that happened out of that, Scott, was the Westy, he wasn't getting it done off the line. So what they did, they kind of made him a flanker, and that's where McNabb got the touchdown to Westbrook. I mean, they made him a flanker and said, okay, here we go.
Well, you've also got nothing on this Philly-Minnesota game was pretty competitive, and Tavares Jackson was just terrible, 15 for 35, 164 yards, and no touchdowns with a pick. I mean, a quarterback like that, you're Minnesota. You had everything about this game you had going for you. You let one big play by Westy, but other than that, they had Philly right where they wanted them. They got no quarterback play.
Right.
If they get any type of a quarterback in the offseason, Minnesota's going to be a team to reckon with. But like I said, Philly didn't look that great, but the G-men aren't that hot right now. They're not the G-men that we saw earlier in the year, although they did beat Carolina in that game, that wild game that had a lot of us feeling like we were watching playoff football. The G-men looked good, but they are not on a roll. Philly's on a roll.
No.
Andy Reid, he's growing out the beard. He's letting it go. It's a good storyline. McNabb is there. He had the big faux pas and the thing about the overtime. And the NFL likes storylines. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think they're going to find a way to get Philly past this game.
And then you've got a
showdown in the following week. I think the G-men, this is the game the Giant fans were worried about. They got it, and you have no Plaxico. Look, you've lost Plaxico. I'm talking to you, G-men fan. You lost Plaxico. You lost Strahan. You lost O.C.
You sound like, hey, Scott, you sound like the ShamWow guy. Hey, camera guy, I'm talking to you, camera guy. You got 30 seconds now. I'm talking to you.
You can't lose that much and think you're just going to go and waltz into the playoffs just because you have a good run game.
Exactly.
This is a team effort. You've got to have special teams, offense, defense, coaching, the whole nine yards, and you don't have a passing game. Now, I've seen Baltimore do it once without a passing game. They won. The year Tampa won with defense, they had a passing game. Was that Brad Johnson? He was throwing to Keyshawn and all those guys. They were throwing to him over and over again.
Yeah, Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
For Baltimore.
Right.
Other than that, you better have some semblance of a passing game.
But those were Hall of Fame defenses, and the Giants, I mean, they're good, but they've lost a lot of talent. And is Tuck
Where's Tuck? If he's out too, right? So they've lost a lot of talent on this
defense.
He's
talking to Buck right now.
Give me Philly plus 175 to complete my sweep. Philly plus 175, Arizona plus 360, San Diego plus 220, Baltimore plus 130. I told you at the top of the show I would turn $20 into a free main event entry at the WCFF. This is how it's done.
Mark that down. What is that again, Scott?
Take road underdog money lines. $20 wins you $18.40. You can get it to you. You can get it right now on any sportsbook, VIP.com, BetUS. $20 wins $18.40. Philly plus 175. Arizona plus 360. San Diego plus 220. Baltimore plus 130. If you want to back it up, go ahead and back it up. Throw down $20.
Throw down
on
Arizona.
Baltimore, on Baltimore and Philly. Just throw down $20 on Baltimore and Philly money lines. Okay.
I agree
and
with
there
that.
You'll have 5-1 on your money. 20 to win 106. That one's a lock. Just go ahead and take. Matter of fact, here's how I'd like to do it. Take the.
Oh, will you stop? Will you stop?
No. Here's how I want to do it. Take the $20. Bet it on the Baltimore-Philly money line parlay. That'll win you 106.
So I like that.
And take your bank. Go ahead. I know I'm going to win that 106. Take that 106 back on that 14 parlay and say, you know what, I'm going for broke here. 106, that'll win you, let's see, times 5 here, carry the 1. You're at $9,000. For that $20 wager that won you $100, you take that $100 back on a 14 parlay with all four road dogs money lines. You turn that $20 into $9,000.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what I did, Scott. I've already played Baltimore and what's the other one?
Philly.
Philly. Yeah, I've already played Baltimore and Philly.
The Baltimore Philly money line parlay is beautiful.
Yep.
20 to win 106. 5-1
on
your money
totally
with the Baltimore Philly parlay. And it's not that big of a stretch, gang. Don't look at the stretch too much.
Is Neil
Carolina
out there?
Carolina loses close games, and they ran neck and neck with Atlanta all year round, and it's the Arizona.
Carolina
team
will not lose to Arizona. Carolina will not lose to Arizona.
I'm sorry that I can't I can't mute Mike in the chat room because our switchboard is down right now, so Mike is not mutable.
Damn. Can I be mutable so Neil can get on here?
Well, I'm trying to get this up and running. It looks like
can you be mutable? Hey Scott, are you mutable?
Coming back. Oh, you know what? There it is. I muted Mike. And I'm bringing on Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Do you hear that?
You got a pretty good argument going on here, don't you?
Do you hear that?
What's that?
It's silence.
Hey, he had never heard it. He silenced the blue.
It's music to my ears, Dish. Well, what do you think about that parlay? Baltimore and Philly money line, 20 to win 106.
I like it. I don't know. I tell you what, these are just going to be great games. I'm really looking forward to them. The Eagles and Giants, that's just a hard-hitting game, boy. That's just
They might be Giants, boy. They might be Giants, boy. Go Philly!
Is Bolden, is he out for the game, or do they know
he's
yet?
Not out. He's not going to test the hammy until game time, and so he is going to play. It sounds like he's going to play and going to get in the game, but they don't know what they're dealing with. He's a speed guy and a power guy, and you need your hammy for both those. So it's going to be questionable whether or not what kind of shape that hammy is in. It's a pain you can play with on a limited basis. It's not an injury like LT has. LT's not going to see the field. He's definitely out. And you've got that. The reason why this is important, most of your playoff lineups, you set your rosters and you're done. You set them and forget them. But that NFFC playoff, the Fantasy 911 contest, you have to drop your players that are out and put in new players that you think are going to win. And, you know, if you had Bolden in your lineup, now's the time that you're going to get double points in that contest.
Uh-huh.
But you really need to drop him, cut your losses, and put in another player that you think might have a chance, like a Santonio Holmes or a Hines Ward or something.
Well, see, Scott,
that's
kind of the same thing.
The week going.
Yeah, you get double this week, you get triple points the following week, and then you get quadruple points if they make it to the Super Bowl.
That's kind of the same thing I'm going through with the playoffs this week. I mean, you get eight drops.
I can't stand that effect.
And I've had to drop three players, and I'm going to keep on hanging on to the Carolina players and keep on moving on.
Well, this should be this has been a really fun playoff, guys. I mean, it's one of those playoffs that you don't see a lot of the offensive superstars, but there are some deep. This is going to be defensive weekend. And it all starts tomorrow. So what are the games tomorrow? I don't have that in front of me.
I pull it up. I don't have that either. Let me get this thing.
Yeah, we've got, we've got Baltimore, Tennessee tomorrow. That's the first game.
Oh, God.
Okay.
What a defensive
game.
I'm not sure
if that's the first game. But Baltimore, Tennessee minus 3 and 34 is the over and under. And the evening game
Arizona, Carolina.
Carolina minus 10 and 48 and a half.
Hey, that spreads down to 9.5, though.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that half a point.
Well, I got 9.
Oh. That could be a big difference when you're talking about Kurt Warner and Steve Breston. That could be a big difference. Sunday, obviously, San Diego, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 6 and 38. Philly at the Giants. Giants minus 4 and 39.
Wow. All right, guys. Well, it's been fun talking NFL playoffs. Let's finish up this last 5 minutes. And for everybody in the chat room, thanks for being here. NFL playoffs is why you're here, and we like to give you as much NFL as we can. We are going to finish up our show here. We're going to come back with a little bit of Louisville and Kentucky basketball. Because I think we've covered the playoffs pretty good. We gave you guys the tip to turn your $20 into $9,000 with just two simple parlays. And we hope that you take advantage of that and you call us back next week and let us know how you're going to spend that cash. But we are going to we're going to take a break here and come back and talk Louisville and Kentucky basketball. So stay with Dr. Dish, Mike Trent, and myself. I'm Scott Atkins, and we'll be back for that Kentucky and Louisville segment. Be right back.
Seven continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
All right, guys, we're back on Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're going to finish up our little segment here with a little bit of Louisville and Kentucky basketball. Please join us every Friday night at 11 p.m. We'll talk all the NFL action, recapping this round of the playoffs, and we're going to always talk about Louisville and Kentucky basketball in the offseason. Thanks for joining us, guys. Let's talk, guys, about this Louisville and Kentucky game. 74-71, U of L's Edgar Sosa, who was this close from being transferred. Patino said he had a couple of teams in his pocket. He was ready for Edgar. He said, man, there's nothing wrong. Edgar was like, why are you picking on me, man? You're not as tough on the other guys as you are on me when I miss a shot. And he said, Edgar, if the reason why I talk to you like that is because every time you miss a shot, you get down on yourself, and your attitude is not where it needs to be. And he just really put it and said it like it is. And Edgar said, you know, give me one more shot, coach. He was ready to transfer him. He had a couple of schools in his pocket. He said, I got a couple of choices here. And he decided to stay. And he said, give me one more shot, coach. And he did. He got that shot, and he had a heck of a game, including that game-winning buzzer beater from deep. Mike, I hope you got to see that shot.
Well, you know, I got to see the shot, and he was going to take it the whole way because there were two players on the wings. What I saw throughout the entire game, bits and pieces, were I saw a couple of young men that really grew, and on both sides, Sosa and, of course, Patterson, the Meeks, and you go into Freedom Hall and do what you do and make things happen. I was very impressed by the way Kentucky played, and I really
typical UK U of L.
I've never been. Do I?
I say it was a typical UK U of L finish, though.
It was. I mean, it was just exciting. It just.
It was 7
the way,
points down with a minute to go, or under a minute, and made a get.
Well,
it
you
up.
Know, Kentucky, I mean, let's face it, Neil. I mean, they made things happen in the last minute and a half, and
exactly.
I see those things happening. And I won't forget that bet I got with Scott for the first to make the Final Four because I think I'm going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Well, Kentucky's a couple players away, and the problem is that the guys that they have on our team will be in the NBA by the time those guys are ready. So it's not going to be that easy. They've got some good things going. Patino has some genuinely nice things to say about them, and he wasn't saying that. He stated several times it's not because we won this game that I'm saying this. He said they have a lot of good things going for them, and a lot of the stats that I look for in a team, he said it reminds me of my 96 team. He said obviously it's because, you know, a lot of people will say that's the schedule that they played, but a lot of those stats that he's looking for are reminiscent of his 96 team. So, you know, Kentucky's got a lot to hang their hat on. I don't have anything bad to say about them other than they suck. But
that makes his turn into a real consistent player, though. That boy
yeah.
is really he's going to be a star, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing about it is there won't be UNLV will not be walking in that door tomorrow at noon.
Well, that's great that we talk about that because Louisville has. I just want to look ahead here, Dr. Dish, before we talk about
UNLV.
Before we talk about this Villanova game. Number 17 Villanova.
Oh,
Louisville
Villanova.
On the road.
Damn,
tomorrow
I got the wrong
noon. And listen to this schedule, Dr. Dish. On the 10th of January, Louisville plays number 17 Villanova. On the 12th, number 13 Notre Dame. On the 17th, number 1 Pittsburgh. On the 25th, number 9 Syracuse. On the 22nd, on the 31st, number 22 West Virginia. And on the 2nd, number 5 UConn. In 24 days, the Cardinals play 6 ranked teams, Dr. Dish.
I agree. I mean, they really got to get the lineup settled, and they got to get some players ready to play, come in reserves. That's a really tough schedule.
Well, and we're trying to figure out who that guy is going to be. Who's going to come off the bench and give us that Juan Palacios points? We've got.
You know, Scott, I'm loving listening to you rattle off because the Big East is a monstrous conference. I mean, I cannot imagine them having a BCS appearance. And you're telling me that they got an appearance in a bowl series versus Utah. But anyway, that's a different sport. But anyway, basketball. That, I mean, that's a monstrous conference.
Well, they were monstrous last year too, Mike. And Louisville, they showed that they can definitely play with the Big East when they rolled to a dominant season last year in the Big East. You have to win your home game. But Louisville was 14-4 in the Big East. Okay, this is a team that can handle the Big East pressure and the grind. This is a grind though like we've never seen. You've got 9 teams that are ranked in the top 25 this year, and
it's brutal.
You can't look past any team. Villanova's a solid team.
You could have 6 losses and win this league.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
You know, I totally agree with that. I mean, it is that brutal. I mean, it's going to be tough, and that's fun competition. That's going to make them great come March. I mean, I hope that every conference is that way, whether it's the Atlantic 10, the Big East, ACC, SEC.
It is happening like that. You seen how Boston College did the other day? They knocked off North Carolina, you know?
Yes.
And then they get knocked off.
And got beat by Harvard.
Harvard.
I mean, that's crazy.
But you got to come ready to play every night. I mean, and there's teams, I think Pitt's kind of opening themselves up a little bit in our league. And UConn look like they've got all the pieces to me. They've just got, if they can get the big center involved a little more in the games, you know, he's a.
Well, Villanova is 8-0.
Notre Dame shooting is out of this world. Pittsburgh is.
Villanova is 8-0 at home, so it's not going to be easy to beat this team. At home, they weren't easy to beat last year. They were just a bunch of firecrackers, and they've got another good roster that's scoring some points. Yep.
You know, I was listening to JT the Brick. You ever heard JT the Brick, Scott?
Oh,
Neil?
Yeah. Like him.
And I was listening to him on the way home, and a caller called in from Georgia, said, well, I really don't like Florida, but I was rooting for Florida to win the game against Oklahoma. And, you know, I can't get it. I mean, when you're a rival, and I can't root for another team, but
we don't want you to.
He loves their team.
And we don't want you to. You've, on this Villanova team, you've got to beat Corey Stokes and Scotty Reynolds. They're both 40% from the 3-point line. Both those guys just absolutely light it up, and those are the two guys that are shooting the most.
Yeah, Reynolds.
Stokes
on that team.
Yeah, Stokes and Reynolds.
Stokes and Reynolds.
Okay. Yep. Those are the two guys you're going to have to look for, and. I don't know. When I look at that schedule, then we come down here, and, you know, they play number 13 Notre Dame on Monday night. That's going to be a fun game. I've got an Irish fan. We always like to get together and watch that game. And you got Heron Goody, obviously, you know, chomping at the bit to
it's
get his
revenge. It's not Kelly Tropica, is it? You got Kelly Tropica?
You got Heron Goody chomping at the bit here to get his revenge.
Adrian
Dantley that absolutely put it to Notre Dame early on last year. And you've got Samardo Samuels. He's going to get his really first test of the year against Heron Goody.
That's a kind of nice matchup there. They're both big, strong, physical players. They're going to be going at each other. I hope Samardo can learn how to stay out of foul trouble against him. You know, it's my concern.
Hey, Mike, you'll appreciate this. The Notre Dame fan that I had lunch with, he said that Mike Davis from IU, anybody remembers Mike
yep.
Davis? He looked at Heron Goody when he was in high school, and he said he wasn't good enough to play for his team or for anybody in the Big Ten.
Uh-huh. You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow, was he wrong. Well, let's look at his UK schedule. And the thing that I find interesting, you know, you've got Vandy, you've got Tennessee, number 25 Tennessee. You've got Georgia all this month, Auburn, Alabama. All these teams, like the one thing I find interesting, for the rest of the year, Kentucky plays only one ranked team, number 25 Tennessee. So, Mike, what happened to the SEC?
The SEC in basketball is very, very weak. You know, It's a product. It's a product of circulation. The way things happen. One year it's the Big East. One year it's the Big Ten. One year it's the SEC. This year, the Big East is the Big East. I mean, it is the beast. The SEC is not very good. So that, you know, being a UK fan, I'm feeling pretty good about things because not only do we are we able to win a bowl game on January 2nd, but chances are we're gonna make it to the tournament with no problem, and because it's a weak conference, it's just it's a circulation process, Scott. I don't know how else to put it.
Oh, that Arkansas team's been a surprise in your conference, I know that.
Well, yep. They've got all year to prove themselves to see if they can't get up there. But I mean, even if you do well in the SEC, it doesn't look like you're going to get a seed that's going to give you an easy road at all. I mean, if Kentucky, I like to look at Joe Lenardi's bracketology every week just to kind of see what he's going on.
I do too.
He had Kentucky as his last team in, and so it was like an 11 seed for Kentucky to be one of those last teams to pop in there to the 64. But I don't know. It's going to be a fun year, and I think Louisville and Kentucky both have a lot to hang their hat on, and we'll see if Louisville can overcome this monstrous schedule that they have in front of them.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal, and, you know, me not being a Louisville fan, to be honest with you, I care less what they do, but it's very hard not to root for them because it is a very tough schedule, and it's a very tough conference, and it's going to be fun and contentious throughout.
Well, we'll be tuned in for sure. 12 o'clock tomorrow, Louisville at Villanova. It's a big game for the Cards. They need to string a couple of games together here. And if you're a Cardinal fan, you finally have the lineup that you wanted to see come in here. You've got Samardo in the paint. You got Earl Clark, Terrence Williams. You've got Jerry Smith, and you've got Edgar Sosa. You've got your guys off the bench. You got Preston Knowles and George Good, and you know you're hoping one of these freshmen maybe come off and give them a little bit of a spark because the bench with Andre McGee is just not deep enough. You need another guy or two, Terrence Jennings maybe, or one of the other freshmen to come through here and spark this bench. Preston Knowles has been an absolute surprise,
yeah,
and he's been shooting lights out, over 40% from the 3-point line, and he plays good on defense. And I know Rick likes to see that, but hopefully Sosa has his head screwed on straight. Hopefully Clark is back in it. He looked great the other night
against South Florida.
So, you know, we got a lot to hope for. We just gotta start where we're at and take it one game at a time, guys. So.
Well, you know, I love that cliche, one game at a time, Scott. There was nothing better than March 3rd, 5th, 7th, 9th. Than for us to be talking about playing ball, and that's what it's all about.
Scott, I don't know if you've seen that yet, too. I'm gonna jump off the subject here a little bit. You saw where I don't know if Matt Sims' son, he's leaving Louisville. You know, or who he thought was projected possibly starting quarterback.
Bill Sims' son, he was our quarterback, Matt Sims. I guess he transferred. Where did he transfer to?
They haven't said yet. I don't know if he's made up his mind yet.
Most
but good. Also today we just had word that Latarius Thomas, our outstanding sophomore safety, he's getting ready to leave Louisville too.
I don't know what's going on here.
We lost Ron English, our defensive coordinator, and I think that's the reason he wants to follow him, but they're not going to let him.
Yep. I've got to dig out the Fire Craig Thorpe YouTube video and get that out to everybody because it's after the first year it was time.
You don't have to get that out to me if you don't mind.
At church, see something there, so it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Red vs. Blue Radio, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Friday night.
All right, thanks, Neil.
Okay, see you guys later.
Go Big Red.
All right.